Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're going to read a quick verse there, and then I'm going to take you some other scriptures along the way. This is going to be one of my shotgun sermons, where most of the time we point like a rifle at one particular verse and study that. But today we're going to look at several different verses and look at several different themes on the issue of giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is the verse we want to read. And let me say this. I hope you will try to be here during the Christmas season. Next Sunday night, we are going to kick off our Advent season. We're going to decorate the church in the Sunday evening service. We're going to have our celebratory service called Hanging of the Greens. And we'll be decorating and sharing scripture and singing songs together. And we hope you'll come and be a part of that. And just about every week in December, in the month of December, we got something special going on in the morning services. So, and sometimes in the evening service as well. So please come and be a part of our activities throughout the month of December. We look forward to what God is going to do in the life of our church. I'll let you remain seated because I'm only going to share one verse. It's a verse you probably know very well. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Remember what it says, in everything, give thanks. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. We pray your blessings upon our time together. We pray that we could take the truths of your holy word and apply it to our hearts and our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, while flying fishing parties into a remote area of Colorado, a young pilot offered to take an elderly county judge along to show him some of his home territory and what it looked like from the air. It was a beautiful, clear day, and the mountain region was just awe-inspiring. The old judge, he took it all in. He never said a word. After landing, he took the pilot's hand, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Young man, I did not think I would ever see the tops of those mountains until my days were done, and I was on my way to the promised land above. I've never enjoyed a day more in my life, and the only thing I can say is thanks. And to tell you, for anything you may wish to do in this county, you have two suspended sentences coming." We need to remember to give thanks. And when we are thankful, we need to say thanks. And today I want us to look at several passages and look at those who should have been thankful, but sometimes we're not. And that's the first one I want to look at. Those who should have been thankful, but were not. In Exodus chapter 16, you remember the story. You remember the background. The children of Israel had been in captivity for many, many years. And they had prayed and they said, "God, would you please deliver us from bondage to slavery?" And God raised up Moses, and Moses brought them out of the land of Egypt with a high hand, with a mighty hand. And they came out not as a slaves, but as a conquering army, to be real about it, because they came out with the spoils of war. The Egyptians paid them to leave the land. They gave them their gold and their silver and their precious stones and beautiful garments. And that's the stuff that they used later on to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. And so they escaped from slavery. God had delivered them with a high and mighty hand. And then they get to the wilderness area, and things become a little more difficult. And they start crying out to God and complaining to God. And they said, "We wish we were back in Egypt. We wish we could just go back to eating the meat in Egypt. After all, we were never hungry there." Chapter 16, verses 1 through 3 of the book of Exodus said, "They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departure from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation." Now, it's bad when one or two people start complaining. But when the whole congregation complains, then you've got a mess on your hands. And here's Pastor Moses. And he says, "God, what am I going to do with these grumbling people?" Because they all were grumbling. And he said, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You see, Israel had been delivered from slavery, but now they complained they did not even have enough food, and they wanted to go back to slavery. They were not thankful for the fact that God had delivered them from this hand of bondage. And for hundreds of years, the nation had been crying out, God deliver us, God deliver us, God deliver us. And they came out with lots of animals. They came out with lots of stuff. But now they're in the wilderness and they're crying because they're hungry. And it wasn't exactly like they thought it was supposed to be, and they were not thankful. Oh, God, I wish we could just go back to Egypt. I wish we could just go back to slavery. Oh, God. You see, they should have been thankful, but they weren't. How many of us are like that crowd of grumbling, complaining Israelites who God has blessed us and given us abundance and given us freedom, and instead of thanking him, we complain that it's not exactly the way we thought it ought to be? When I was a young man, I was a teenager. It was probably late 60s, early 70s. It was a one rainy Saturday night. My dad was a pastor, and I remember him. He had a place in the house where he would go off on Saturday night. He was a bivocational pastor, and he'd always look over his message on Saturday night. And it was late in the evening, it was dark, rain was coming down, and he was in the back room studying his message. Heard a knock on the door, which was unusual for that time of night. And we lived off the main road. We were not on the main road, and if people came and knocked on your door, we usually knew they were coming. And I looked out the door, and there was two gentlemen there, long-haired hippies. And they were knocking on the door, and I went out, and I said, how can we help you? They said, well, we drove our car in the ditch down the road, and it was about a mile down the road. They walked about a mile to get to our house and walked past lots of other farmhouses to get help, but nobody wanted to help these long-haired hippies in the rain to pull their car out of the ditch, so they sent them to the preacher's house. Everybody in the community said, you would help us. And I never will forget my dad. He put on his garments and he went out, pitch dark, pouring rain. And he went down the road on his tractor, no cab on it, just an old Ford tractor, and pulled them out of the ditch. And I remember he'd come back in from the house, pulled the tractor into the barn, and came back to the house, and he was drenched, totally soaked from head to toe. I said, did you get them out of the ditch? And he said, yeah. He said, and I wouldn't mind doing it, except they left without so much as a thank you. And I thought about that a lot of times, and I thought, how often does God expect a thank you from us? We don't give it to him. Because of the good things, the things we take for granted, I guess these folks just assume that the preacher owed it to them to pull them out of the ditch. And sometimes I think we believe God owes us something to bless us. And listen to me when I say this. God has extended his grace and mercy, and grace means we don't deserve it, anything that he gives us. We deserve his judgment, not his blessing. So any blessing he gives us, we need to be thankful for. The Israelites were a group of people who were not thankful. They should have been, but they were not. You see, we have a tendency to focus on what we do not have rather than what we do have, and we need to be thankful for everything that God has given us. There's a second group of people, and I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We looked at this particular instance on Wednesday night a few weeks back. In Luke chapter 17, there were those who were thankful but never took the time to express it. There were those maybe who were thankful, they just never took the time to express it. In Luke 17, it's the story of the 10 lepers. The Bible tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and there were 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, and they met him, and they raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going to the priest, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, saying, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Scripture makes that declaration because Samaritans normally had no dealings with Jews and vice versa. Jesus was Jewish. This guy was a Samaritan. The implication is that the other nine who were healed were Jewish, and they should have been the very ones who would come back and have this connection with this Jewish rabbi who was traveling around the country healing and preaching and teaching. But those who should have been thankful were not, and the one who was supposedly not supposed to express his dealings with Jews, he was the one who came back and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." See, there were those who may have been thankful, and those who were going to the priest to declare themselves clean from leprosy, they may have been thankful, but they chose not to return to Jesus and share that experience. They never took the time to say, "Thank you, thank you." Now, like the hippies, they may have been thankful and just forgot to express it. But could be very well that they just chose not to express their thanksgiving to God. We need to make sure we tell God every day, "Thank you." In everything, give thanks. It doesn't mean we give thanks for everything, but in every circumstance, give thanks. I was taught to use that little acrostic in prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You've heard that, haven't you? Sort of a tool to use as you pray to the Lord. You adore him. You express adoration to him. You confess your sins to him. You give thanksgiving to him. What are you thanking for? Well, you're thanking for the physical things, for a nose to smell, eyes to see, ears to hear, fingers to touch, feet to walk. You think that you have breath in your lungs. You thank him for good health. You thank him for life. You can thank him for the physical things. You can thank him for the material things, for a roof over your head, for a car to drive, for a job to work at. You can thank him for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your parents, for your siblings. You can thank him for your church. You can thank him for the spiritual things, the mercy and grace of God. That he gave his only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have eternal life, abundant, full, and free. Thank him for his Spirit who lives beside us to talk with us and walk with us and show us the truth that God wants us to experience in our everyday walk. We can thank him for that spiritual blessing, where he has seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus and given us a victory that is ours only by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can thank him for material things. We can thank him for emotional things, for the feelings of love and peace and joy, all the blessings of life that gives us. Listen, if you can't find something to thank God for in all those ways that we can thank him, then your heart is not where it needs to be. You need to express your thanksgiving to God. Over in Luke chapter 18, there's another group. There were those who were thankful but never took time to express it, and there were those who are thankful for all the wrong reasons. Those who are thankful for the wrong reasons. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Jesus tells this parable about the scribe and the Pharisee, or this Pharisee and the tax collector. He says, two men went up to a temple to pray, one a Pharisee, a very religious man, and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. And listen to what he was thankful for. "God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus made this declaration. I tell you, this man, this tax collector, he went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the Pharisee was thankful for all the wrong things. I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. Well, he needed to be more like the tax collector and less like himself. And sometimes we can be arrogant and proud and say, God, I thank you that I'm better than everybody else. We pat ourselves on the back. I thank you that I'm a good person. I thank you that I have this good job. I thank you for this wonderful house that I live in. But we do it in such a way, and there's nothing wrong with thanking God for those things, unless we do it in such a way that we're condescending towards those who have something less. And we think because God has blessed us, He loves us a little more than He loves them. The Bible tells us we are to be thankful for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. With our thankfulness should come a sense of humility and servitude towards God and others. We are not spiritually superior. We are beggars who have discovered God's generosity, not because we are worthy, but because He is good. And we need to every day express our thanks for all that God has done for us. I was reading this passage in James this week. It convicted me. It's a passage we've read before and actually looked at in our Sunday night series as we studied through the book of James chapter 2. Listen to what it says. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. In other words, don't pat ourselves on the back thinking we're better than everybody else. Because of some goodness in our life, God has deemed us worthy of His grace and mercy. And this is what He says. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and then there comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit in a good place, and you say to this poor man, you stand over here, sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. James says this, faith without works is dead, and we should work, exercise our faith, live out our faith in humility, putting others ahead of ourselves, treating others as more important than ourselves, not because they are, but that's what Jesus did. Jesus knelt and He washed the disciples' feet. And as I reminded you last week, one of the disciples whose feet He washed was Judas Iscariot, who He knew was going to betray Him. And yet Jesus lowered Himself and made Him a slave to wash the very feet of Judas Iscariot. And then He goes to the garden and says, I thank you, God, that I am able to suffer. I thank you. With joy, he endured the cross. And he thanked the Lord. He thanked the Heavenly Father for the privilege of being a sacrifice to us all. There are those who are thankful for the wrong reasons. We need to make sure that we have an attitude of humility in everything that we do and everything that we say, and that everyone who comes through the doors of our church, we treat with love and respect and extends God's grace and mercy to them regardless of their stature of life. Number four, those who are thankful regardless of the circumstances. Acts chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but I'll tell you the story. Paul and Silas have come to the city of Philippi. They've been preaching the gospel, and there are those in the city who don't like the fact that they're preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And so they have them beaten unjustly. Paul was a Roman citizen. He should never have been treated this way. He should never have been beaten. He should never have been tossed in jail without a hearing. And even though Paul was Jewish, he was also a Roman citizen. And he had the ability to bring suit against these Philippian leaders in the city of Philippi. So he could have been sitting there in the prison just moaning and groaning, saying, God, I've been treated unjustly. They should never treated me this way. And he could have been singing the blues. He could have been one of those hee-haw Christians we've talked about before. Blues, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. More of us are like those hee-haw Christians than we want to admit. Blues, despair, and agony on me. But the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises to the Lord. See, it did not matter what their circumstances was. Their circumstances did not keep them from praising God and thanking God for what He was doing in their life. They had been beaten unjustly, treated unfairly, and yet their response was this: I will praise you, God. I will praise you. We see that story reenacted over and over again in the lives of the apostles. Not just Paul and Silas, but Peter and John. They're cast in jail for preaching the message. God sets them free. And they thank the Lord for the opportunity to suffer for His sake. Are we thankful in every circumstance? We should be. Misery is an option. Joy is a choice. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various kinds of trials, difficulties, circumstances, knowing that the trying of your faith will produce patience. And patience, when it is done its complete and perfect work, will bring you to spiritual maturity. Are we thankful in every circumstance? You see, our joy is not determined by our circumstance, but rather upon our relationship with the Heavenly Father. I read this quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. I thought it appropriate. He said this: cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continuously. Sounds like the Apostle Paul, doesn't he? Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continually. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. In other words, every circumstance in life contributes to your spiritual maturity. Every circumstance in life contributes to your advancement in this life, making you a better person, making you a better Christian. And so you need to give thanks in all things. Some of you read the story just a few weeks back, a few months back, about a New Jersey high school senior who sued her parents. She accused them of tossing her out of the family home when she turned 18 and refusing to pay for her private high school tuition and future college education. In the lawsuit, Rachel Canning of Lincoln Park, New Jersey, asked court to have her parents pay the outstanding tuition for her private high school and her living and transportation expenses for the foreseeable future, and to pay her legal bills as she was suing them. She says that she is an honor student and a cheerleader who was cut off from her family and could lose the opportunity to King College, where she hopes to major in biomedical engineering. Her parents said she was not kicked out of the house. Instead, she left on her own because she didn't want to abide by their rules. She had a boyfriend they didn't care for. And they expected her to abide by the curfew that they had assigned to her. And they said that Rachel's boyfriend had been abusive to her and that she had been suspended from school, and they were not going to continue to pay her bills if they were not willing. She was not willing to live according to their rules. Now, what do you think of that? As I told that story, do you identify with Rachel or you identify with the parents? I would dare say most of you say, that spoiled, rotten kid. What was she thinking? But before you indict Rachel, I would dare say that most of us, spiritually speaking, are more like Rachel in relationship to our Heavenly Father than we would dare to admit. God has blessed us with abundance that overflows. He's given us life and all the blessings of life. And we shake our fist at God and we say, God, you have to do this for me. I deserve it. I'm good. You, because of who you are, you're generous. You have everything. You've got to do this for me. And we go away being ungrateful, spoiled, rotten brats, thinking God owes us something. And we go away without an attitude of gratitude. And I want to say to each and every one of us today, let's put on our heart of humility. Let's clothe ourselves with this attitude of gratitude and say and recognize and realize that God doesn't owe us anything. But He gives us blessing because He loves us. And every day we need to get up and recognize His blessing and give thanks. Give thanks to Him for all that He's done for us. Here's the danger. We want to live our own lives, make our own rules. And then we become angry when God holds us accountable. And we lose our attitude of gratitude. I think we should be a little less spoiled and a whole lot more grateful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each and every one of you. Which one of these people are you going to be like when you go away from here today? Let's bow our heads and pray together.